ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। न देयम् न उपभोग्यम् च लुब्धेर्य दुःख संचितम् भुङ्क्ते तदपि तच्चान्यो मधु हेवार्थ विन्मधु। न दे purport by the disciples of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A greedy person accumulates a large quantity of money with great struggle and pain. But the person who has struggled so much to acquire this wealth is not always allowed to enjoy it himself or give it in charity to others. The greedy man is like the bee who struggles to produce a large quantity of honey, which is then stolen by a man who will enjoy it personally or sell it to others. No matter how carefully one hides his hard-earned wealth or tries to protect it, there are those who are expert in detecting the whereabouts of valuable things, and they will steal it. Purport. One may argue that a wealthy man may conceal his money so expertly by investing it in banks, stocks, properties, and so on, that there is no danger of theft. Only foolish people actually hide money by burying it in the ground or placing it under a mattress. But despite the fact that the majority of the world's wealth has been accumulated in highly developed capitalistic countries, these countries are being severely challenged by many enemies who threaten at any moment to overrun the capitalist and steal their wealth. Similarly, we often find that the children of wealthy people are kidnapped and then their parents must pay huge ransoms. Sometimes the parents themselves may also be kidnapped. Furthermore, there are so-called investment counselors who are expert in stealing the money of rich people. And in the modern age, governments have also become expert in stealing money by taxation. Thus, the word arthvit indicates one who by hook or by crook is expert in stealing the hard-earned wealth of other people. The bees work frantically to produce honey, but they will not enjoy their honey. As Lord Krishna states, Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham, I'll come as death personified and steal everything. Somehow or other, one's hard-earned material opulence will be stolen. And therefore, as mentioned in this verse, one should not work uselessly like the foolish honeybee. So it's a conversation happening between King Yadu and the Avadhut Brahman. And Lord Krishna is quoting this as an example in his conversation in Uddhav Gita as an example of someone who can use his intelligence to make spiritual advancement. Actually, in the purport, I was thinking there are so many, avenues are given which steal the hard-earned money. And we are thinking these taxation people are under the Katghara and everybody else. Tomorrow, some of us will be in the Katghara because the next verse is quite interesting. How we'll leave it for tomorrow. Or sometimes some of us sitting here are also responsible in a positive sense. So generally we have, every conditioned soul has two kinds of inclinations, towards matter and towards eternal spirit. And sadhana bhakti is basically about decreasing our inclination towards matter and increasing our inclinations towards spiritual things. So by these descriptions which are coming in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna suddenly picks up a man who is just lying somewhere and King Yadu finds him and he starts explaining about his life experiences, his memoir, right? His experience of how he got transformed. So by these descriptions, one needs to understand that the life of material sense indulgence is inauspicious. And therefore, the whole idea of Srimad Bhagavatam is to turn the attention of the jiva from his indriya tripti to the service of Lord Narayan. The whole idea is to turn his head towards that particular objective. So when the Lord in the previous chapter had begun this particular section where he is about to explain the 24 gurus of this Avadhut Brahman, he basically gives an understanding to Uddhav, because Uddhav is in a feeling that Krishna is going to leave him. What will happen to him? So his whole conversation is on the is driving this point that Uddhav, you can use your own intelligence as your guru in spite of my absence. So do not worry. There are examples in the past who have utilized their own intelligence as their gurus and have moved towards Krishna. So therefore this example actually comes, where there is a person who is just lying and just sees so many things and learns so many things. So the Lord is explaining in the 7th chapter, he basically glorifies the human form of life. And he says, Prayana manuja loke loka tattva vichakshanaha samudharantihi atmanam atmeneva ashubhashayat. Ashubhashayat. So Krishna is saying that manuja loke, in the human society, loka tattva vichakshana, people who are expert at analyzing material nature and the way it functions and the purpose of it, samudharantihi atmanam, they can transcend or they can extricate themselves from this very inauspicious, he says, very inauspicious condition of absorption in material sense enjoyment. He says, ashubha ashayat, the inauspicious attitude of desiring sense gratification. And the main tool that the Lord mentions here is atmana, by their own intelligence. So basically the Lord is saying, one must use his intelligence to deliver from this mentality. And herein the Lord is giving us a sense of responsibility. We cannot hold circumstances accountable for our fallen situations. We are responsible. Being in the human form of life, being endowed with such kind of intelligence, being endowed with the capacity to make choices, we are responsible for our situation. So nobody can be blamed. Someone else cannot be blamed for our fallen situations. So, apart from encouraging Uddhavji, Krishna is basically giving very sincere instructions. And Sridhar Swami, in this particular verse, says that even if one has not received the instructions from the spiritual master directly, still one can understand by direct and indirect analysis that this material world is a place of suffering. And he says direct method means his own experience, and indirect is by hearing from others. By hearing others' experiences also, you can actually understand that world is not a place of enjoyment. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, very interestingly, because Chakravarti Pad always goes into the emotional psychology of the audience in the Bhagavatam. Often you would see that he enters in the emotional aspect of what the audience is feeling, what the speaker is feeling. And he's saying that Uddhav was feeling a little discouraged that, you know, he's unqualified to render any devotional service and the Lord is just leaving him away and, you know, he's left alone and all the Yadus have disappeared and everything. But he says Uddhav was actually perfectly situated and he was more intelligent even than the great demigods, because he had achieved Lord Sri Krishna as his perfect spiritual master. So in that purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada writes, similarly, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement are guided by the instructions of the society's founder Acharya, Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Shtotra Shat Shri Shrimadesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, a sincere member of the Krishna consciousness movement should never feel discouraged, but should rather count his blessings and do the needful to go back home, back to Godhead. So, interestingly, by the example of Uddhava, Lord is giving us hope. In terms of making spiritual advancement. So, basically, the Lord is, again and again, time and again, through the medium of the acharyas, through the medium of the examples of his devotees, he is inspiring each sadhaka to take personal responsibility of his inner state. And I remember, Gaurang Prabhu used to tell us that you should be ruthlessly honest with yourself, because the best person who can cheat you is you. We are the best people to cheat ourselves, because other people will do something and we'll lose something. But if we are not ruthlessly honest with our own inner development, we lose the chance of going back to Krishna. However, Jiva Goswami says that does not mean that one should not accept a spiritual master. But he says when one uses one's intelligence to analyze life, then he is able to appreciate also the value of the representative of Lord Krishna. When he uses his intelligence in understanding how life is moving, he begins to appreciate the presence of Guru. So this is the 14th Guru in the list of 24. Madhuha, the honey thief. And this Avadhut Brahman was so eager to understand reality that the Lord was revealing deep spiritual truths. Even through something so ordinary. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, we saw. Then we saw bumblebee, honeybees. And in future we will have a prostitute giving him such important lessons. Or even bangles on a young lady's hands. All these things are giving him such deep spiritual lessons because of his eagerness. And the Upanishads say that this sense of deep eagerness is the qualification for a sadhaka to make spiritual advancement. If you lose this heat, if you lose this esteem of eagerness and roll down in an automated mode, then the chance of deliverance becomes less. So one has to be eager to make a spiritual advancement. Therefore, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the perfected beings are asking questions after questions. Right, Viduraji is asking so many questions and Parishit Maharaj is asking all these questions, exemplifying eagerness. And when that deep eagerness is applied in material sphere, then that becomes greed. Then that becomes hankering, which is the subject matter of this particular verse. Like just yesterday, I was reading this book, The Journey Within, with one of my friends. And we were reading this statement Maharaj writes, after he explains that pastime of Parashar Muni's disciple going and asking what is the qualification of one who can make spiritual advancement, and he explains those four things. Anantacharya explains four things. So then Maharaj writes the final concluding line of that particular section. He says, when our eyes are opened by the words of the wise, we see lessons in most common of the things. And he mentioned like a chicken or salt also. You can see so many lessons coming out because of being enlightened. So we shall focus on this particular theme of the verse, which is greed, or in general, the tendency to accumulate wealth more than necessary. So Bhagavatam says that accumulation of wealth, why is it so much apprehended in the pages of the Bhagavatam? Why does just the sages allow, okay, do whatever you like? So we have to go back 5,000 years back at the beginning of Kali Yuga when Mr. Kali is beginning to make his propaganda and Maharaj Parikshit catches him red-handed when he's trying to strike the legs of the bull. Three legs are already broken and he's making the cow cry and he's begging for shelter. And Kali then says, our Parikshit Maharaj says, okay, you stay in these four places. Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. And Kali says that I'm not going to find all these things in your kingdom. Right? So, where do I stay? So then he's saying, Punascha yachamanaya jatrupam adat prabhuhu tato nrutam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. Punascha yachamanaya. He again begged Parikshit Maharaj, please give me a place to live. So he said, Parikshit Maharaj gave him the permission to live where there is gold, jatrupam. Wherever there is gold, he gave him permission, you can live. Because he said, Sudh Goswami is saying, because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy or pride, and enmity. So these places, all these things are present, so which will lead to disruption of the four principles. Therefore, you stay in the wealth also. Where there is unnecessary hoarding for money. So the verse is saying, na deyam na upubhogyam cha bhungte tadapi. So basically, Radha Govind Maharaj is explaining that wealth has three destinations. The best destination for wealth is dan, charity. Second destination is bhoga, enjoyment. And he said, if you don't do these two, third is nash. It will get destroyed and it will destroy you also. Right? So dan, nash, Dana, Bhog, and Nash. Of course, the best is charity. So, and the Bhagavatam says, this particular verse is saying, Lubdher yad dukkha sanchitam. A greedy man with great struggle accumulates this money. So, Prahlad Maharaj, when he's instructing his demonic schoolmates, he's actually telling the predicament of someone who is extremely attached to this concept of just earning too much beyond his requirements. And he's saying, he said, wealth. People say, I love this, I love that, I love my relatives, I love that. But actually, everybody loves themselves. The most affectionate personality for anybody is oneself, one's own life. And here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that wealth is even dearer than the life here. So saying, Konu artha trishnam visrajet prane bhyopiye psita. Even at the cost of life, people cannot give up the desire to accumulate wealth. They risk their very lives to just get some wealth. Yam krinati asubhi preshthai. Right? They even risk their life here, asubhi. Even their life here, which is preshthai, very, very dear. And he gives three examples. Taskara, sevako, vanik. Taskara is a thief. So he risks his life being killed just for get some money. Then he says, sevaka, or a soldier, he risks his life by going to the war. And vanik, a merchant, goes to very, very dangerous places, mafia-ridden places, to establish his business and earn some money. So they risk their very lives for the thirst of this money. And this money is earned with great struggle, Bhagavatam says. Yad dukkha sanchitam. And four things that everyone experiences in the pursuit of accumulating wealth. I think this comes in Avanti Brahman. Arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane vyaye nash upabhog ayasas trasas chinta brahmonanam. So he's saying, in the earning, sadhane, attainment, siddhe, utkarshe, increase, rakshane, protection, vyaye, expenses, nasha, loss, upabhoga, enjoyment of wealth. In all of these things, all men experience great labor, fear, anxiety, and delusion. And we often hear this story of many, you know, speakers have spoken on different occasions, the story of the 99 club. How once upon a time, a king is going with his ministers through the village, and he sees a, you know, simple farmer, very happy, spending time with his family, eating his dinner together, kids are playing, there's so much jolly atmosphere, and the king is thinking, I'm not so happy. Why is that? He's asking minister, this farmer has nothing, he has just some mud walls and a thatched roof, hardly some grains to eat, not such variety that I eat. But he's so happy, and I'm not. And the minister said, my dear lord, he is not yet a part of the 99 club. The king said, what do you mean by the 99 club? He said, I'll explain it to you in a couple of months. But tonight you give me 100 gold coins. So he took the 100 gold coins. The king did not ask too many questions. He said, okay, minister asking, well, let's see. So he gave 100 gold coins. And the minister sent somebody to drop that bag in front of the house of this farmer at the night. Next day morning, as day winds down, as usual, the farmer was going to his fields. He opens his door. And he sees this red, sparkling velvet bag, little heavy, with something inside. Just the bag looked so royal. So he just brought it inside, locked the door. He was apprehensive, what's inside it? He opened it, and he saw the glittering of the coins. He called his wife, hey, come here. Who gave this? Do you know? He said, we don't know. Yesterday night when we closed the road, it wasn't there. But the morning it is there. The Lord is kind upon us. Let's count our good fortune. So he emptied the whole, telly in a tokri or something, whatever, on a spread of sheet. And they started counting. And the man was so enthusiastic. He really counted so fast. And 97, 98, 99. The man said, 99? I must have made some mistake. Why will someone give me 99? Must be 100. So he counted once, he counted twice, he counted thrice. He started doubting himself. And he told his wife, why don't you count? And she started counting. And she also found 99. He said, my God, why 99? Why I don't have 100? We have to get the 100 gold coin. And he started working hard, foaming at his mouth like a bull. He had no time to spend with his family, no common lunches or dinners. He would be so hard working, so tired that he will get irritated at the slightest mischief of his children. He would rebuke his wife even for a small paisa which was spent uselessly, as per his estimation. And after 2 months, the king happened to pass by through the same place, and he saw in that same courtyard the husband is shouting at the wife, and the wife is irritated, crying, and the kids are just lying in one corner being neglected. And he asked the minister, what did you do with those 100 gold coins? He said, I made him the member of the 99 club. So that's the story of life for many people. Like once one speaker was saying that one very wealthy person in the world was interviewed, and he was asked, what is your desire now? What is your aspiration? And he said, more. I need more money. So somehow, you know, we don't see the 99 gold coins that we already have. Everyone keeps running after the one that they don't have and they don't need. But they keep running after it somehow or other. So nature of greed is that it's never satisfied. Kamasyantam hishutradbhyam krodhasetat falodayat jano yati na lobhasya jitva bhuktva dishobhuva. It is said that kamasyantam hishutradbhyam, if there are desires for hunger and thirst, they can be satisfied if you eat food. Krodhasetat falodayat, if you are angry, you can get pacified by chastising somebody, download on someone, and then you experience the ill effects, and then you kind of get detached from krodha also. Jano yatin lobhasya. But as far as lobha is concerned, jitva bhuktva dishobhuva, even if you've enjoyed everything in the world, this greed doesn't go down. So Vamandev is telling to Bali Maharaj, and Vamandev approaches Bali, and Bali is just charmed upon seeing Vamandev. This is one of the features. Whenever the Lord appears in whatever form, his the opulence of beauty is always there with him. Just charms the conditioned soul so deeply. And this Bali is looking at Vaman with an unblinking eye. And is hoping that this tiny Brahmana would ask him for something. And this Brahmana finally said, just give me 3 steps of land. And Bali is saying, it's childish requirements. You know whom you're coming to? You're coming to Bali. He owns the entire planetary system. I can give you an island if you want. And Vamandev is saying, Yavanto Vishaya Preshta Trilokyam Achitendriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Prati Puryayitum Nripa. My dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy one whose senses are uncontrolled. And we had a classic example in his own family, right? Hiranyakashipu. Saittham nirjit kakob ekrad vishyan priyan yathopajosh bhunjano natrapyata chitindriya. He had everything that you name for any amount of time to enjoy at any given point of time. But he was not satisfied because the senses were uncontrolled. And Vamandev further says that tribhi kramair asantushto, if I am dissatisfied with these 3 steps of land which I actually need, beyond my need, if you give me anything, dvipe na api na puryate. Even if you give me an island filled with 9 varshas, that in the central one, right, Jambu Dvipa. Even if you give me that, what will happen? Sapta dvipa vara ichchaya. I will start hoping that I'll get the other 6 also. Because I've crossed the boundary of my need and entered the boundary of greed. So saying, therefore, I don't need beyond what I want. So basically, under the influence of this greed, one lives a life of expectations, which is basically rajogun. And the characteristic of rajogun is it eventually leads to misery. Dukkha. It leads to grief and it leads to misery. And Narad Muni, in the pastime of Manigriva Nalkuvara, he's saying that of all the riches, of all the factors which can bewilder one's intelligence, right? of Sri Shruta Aishwarya, right? Learning, you know, knowledge, beauty, opulence. The most dangerous is, he's saying, Nahi Anyo Jushato Joshyan Buddhi Brahmsho Rojo Guna Srimadad Abhijatya Der Yatra Stri Dyutam Asava. He's saying the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence most. And in that bewilderment, a person engages in sinful activity. So what are the effects of accumulating too much beyond one's necessary requirement? Please understand, it's beyond the necessary. It's not that wealth is bad, but its accumulation beyond a certain necessity creates certain things. So Avanti Brahman in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it will come in the future chapters, he explains that 15 faults that accrue because of accumulating wealth. As soon as you start the endeavor of accumulating unnecessary wealth, he says 15 faults come without being sought also. You will not look forward for them, but they will come. So he's saying, what is that? Steyam. Steyam is theft. Himsa, violence. Anritam, speaking lies. Duplicity, dambha, lust, anger, perplexity, pride, quarreling or disagreement, enmity, faithlessness, envy, and the dangers caused by women, gambling and intoxication are the 15 undesirable qualities that contaminate men because of greed for wealth. Artha Moola. The root of all these things Bhagavatam is saying is artha. This desire to just keep accumulating a lot of money. And he's saying, Tasmad anartham arthakhyam shreyo arthi duratastyaje. Therefore, although people ascribe a lot of value to this aspect of just accumulating a lot of money, which is actually not required so much. Therefore, somebody who is desiring to make serious spiritual advancement, duratastyajet, he stays away from it. So we have the example of Sanatana Goswami escaping from the prison with Ishan, not going through the main road. He came through the hills of Patada, and finally he comes to this motel where he has to spend a night. And the inn manager has an astrologer who tells him that this gentleman who is coming has money. And therefore this man started behaving very nicely with Sanatana Goswami, treating him with great respect and care. And Sanatana Goswami, being a diplomat himself, could understand there is something fishy. Right? Ati bhakti chorera laksham. Kuch jade kar raha hai. Kuch to gadbad hai. So Sanatana Goswami goes to take bath, and Ishan comes with him, and he asks Ishan, are you carrying some gold coins? He said, yeah. And he says, I have 7. Actually, he had 8. But he has 7. And Sanatana Goswami is saying, Shuni Sanatana Tare Karila Bhartsan Sange Keni Aniyachiye Kalayam. Are you, why are you carrying the death knell with you? These 7 gold coins will get us killed somewhere. We are running for the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you are carrying this cause of death. Give it up. So he comes back and offers these gold coins to this inn manager. And the inn manager is very pleased. He's very happy. Oh, such a high. And he actually confesses that I was about to kill you tonight if you would not have given me these 7 gold coins. Can you imagine losing Sanatana Goswami at that stage? What would have happened to the world? Mahaprabhu was predicting. So he gave the 7 gold coins, and he's saying, no, I don't want you. Keep it back. And Sanatana Goswami says a very nice thing. He said that if you don't take it, then somebody else will kill me for this. Better you keep this with you and just help me cross these hills and go to Vrindavan. And he started walking, and there are 4 watchmen who were given to him, who in the night only they helped him cross the hill. And Ishan was following Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami once again asked Ishan, are you still carrying something? And he said, I still have 1 gold coin. And Sanatana said, just go back. You can't come with me. In spite of telling, you have not given 8, still 7, still kept 1, just return. You are not meant to be coming with me. And he was sent back, Ishan. So, after Ishan left, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes Sanatana Goswami's mental disposition. After losing all his wealth, he's saying, Tare vidaye diya gosai chalila ekala হাতে করয়া ছিন্দা কানটা নির্ভয় হইল। হি জাস্ট হ্যাড আ ওল্ড বিটেন পট ফর ওয়াটার অ্যান্ড আ টর্ন কুইল্ট অ্যাজ হিজ নো ক্লোথস, বাট হি ওয়াজ নির্ভয়। হি ওয়াজ উইদাউট এনি ফিয়ার, হি জাস্ট ওয়াকড স্ট্রেট টু বৃন্দাবন। সো উই সি রাইট হিয়ার ইন দ্য প্রেজেন্স অফ দ্য ওয়েলথ, দ্য ল্যান্ডলর্ড বিকেম গ্রিডি, হি ওয়াজ স্পিকিং লাইজ, স্টার্টেড অ্যাক্টিং ডুপ্লিশিয়াসলি, হি ওয়াজ থিঙ্কিং অফ হিমসা, হি assumed enmity against Sanatan Goswami, who had not done anything to him, just because of the expectation of getting this wealth. And Ishan, because he had that wealth, he started speaking lies to Sanatan Goswami. Now the aspiration, motivation, we don't know. It could be for service of Sanatan Goswami or for some security or whatever it is. But the fact is, he spoke lies and also it created fear in his heart. And therefore Sanatan Goswami could detect that there is some fear. If there is some fear, means there is an attachment behind. So advanced devotees can actually detect it, and he just removed him from that situation. So Bhagavatam says this greed actually makes one oblivious to the passing of the time factor also. In the Rudra Gita, this famous verse comes that how the Lord is the pramattam uccheriti kritya chintaya. People are mad thinking about, planning about, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that. Why? Pravraddha lobham. Because of being impelled by greed. Vishayeshu lalasam. But the Lord is apramatta. He is not bewildered. In the form of death, he is waiting. Just like a snake waits for a croaking frog and captures him at the least expected moment. So basically, too much absorption in the material makes us oblivious to the eventual cataclysms which happens in material life. So Bhagavatam goes on to explain several pastimes. It explains how greed can actually destroys all auspicious qualities. Asantashtasya viprasya tejo vidya tapo yasha shravantendriya laulyena jnanam chaiva vakriyate. For the greed, for the sake of the senses, spiritual strength, education, austerity, reputation of a devotee who is not self-satisfied dwindle, and his knowledge gradually vanishes. So Avanti Brahman also similarly says. So we see that. And Bhagavatam says that even elevated people fall because of this greed. So there's limitation of time. So there are several effects of greed that happen. But what's the solution? How do you overcome greed? It's a problem. How do you overcome it? So Bhagavatam says, 7th canto, when Narad Muni is explaining to Yudhishthir Maharaj how various things can be overcome, he says, Aksankalpa jayat kamam krodham kama vivarjanat artha anartha ikshaya lobham bhayam tatvavamarshanat. He says, greed can be overcome by hearing about the disadvantages of accumulating wealth more than required. And this is quite interesting, because in our Gaudiya Vaishnava theology, greed is represented by Hiranyaksha. And I was just thinking, how did the Lord kill Hiranyaksha? By slapping him below his ear. Kaan ke niche lagaya. So Krishna is the origin of everything. Whether it's his fist and kung fu or his, flying kicks or kaan ke niche. So he just hit him below the ear with his lotus hooves and killed him. And why was Hiranyaksha doing all these things? For pleasing Hiranyakashipu, which represents the enjoyment mentality. So when there is intense enjoyment mentality, one is impelled to accumulate a lot of money and become greedy and things like that. So similarly, we have the solution of this Hiranyaksha demon is somewhere close to the ear only. Varadev kicked him or slapped him near the ear. So similarly, when we hear through the ear the message of the Bhagavatam and the dangers of accumulating wealth, then one actually gradually becomes freed of this tendency. Karena karna mule ahan. Karena karna mule. With his hand, he just hit him below the ear. So that is the first solution. We start hearing about the disadvantages. And the second is cultivating satisfaction. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, in his wonderful book, The Journey Within, he writes how on the spiritual path the transformation happens. And one of the things he says is that greed is transformed to benevolence. The desire to do good to others, which can happen only through a satisfied heart. So he's saying, so cultivating satisfaction, how do you do that? Focus on what you need instead of what you want. Kamesen indriya pritir labho jivate yavata jivasa tata jigyasa anarthayascha karmabhi. Bhagavatam says that desires for sense gratification should be just to maintain the body and soul together so that you can transcend the cycle of birth and death. And Vamandevi speaks very elaborately to Bali Maharaj about the importance of just focusing on what you need and not what you want. Second is within the cultivating satisfaction, the second thing we can do is practicing gratitude instead of unhealthy comparison. Be grateful for what we have. And I was thinking of this example of Sudama Brahman when he is returning from Dwarka and he has not got anything. Imagine you walk with such a background that you have nothing, and your friend who is all merciful, who is known to be very charitable, you go to his home, you spend a day or two and you return with not even a penny. But look at his mental composure and his consciousness, which is revealed by Shukdev Goswami. He's saying, Sacha alabdhva dhanam krishnan, although he did not get any money, alabdhva, na tu yachitvan swayam, neither he asked for it. Swagrihan viridito gachan, he simply returned home, mahad darshan nirvrita, just being satisfied by taking darshan of the Supreme Personality of God. Oh, I got darshan of Krishna, that is bigger than any wealth that I need. And therefore he was satisfied even in that situation. For us it is difficult. Just to take darshan of the Lord and there is no breakfast, very difficult. So therefore we have darshan after the breakfast, so you can peacefully take. However, even in our conditioned state of sadhana bhakti, we have to make efforts to seek satisfaction in devotional activities and association. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Right? Kathayanta shamam nityam tushanti charamantija. We have to seek satisfaction in hearing and chanting together. So in devotional circles, friendship thickens not by spending time, not by just staying in a common physical location. Bhagavatam doesn't say anywhere like that. The only way friendship thickens in devotional circles is on the basis of mutual exchange of Krishna Katha. When there is mutual exchange of Krishna Katha, then the hearts get bound. And that thick friendship encourages one to lead a pure life and give up sense gratification. Chakravarti Pad writes in that beautiful purport of that famous verse, Paraspara Anukathanam, Pavanam Bhagavad Yashaha, Mithatrutir Mithastushtir Nivrattar Mitha Atmana. Because completely satisfied. So Krishna Katha, when we ourselves are absorbed in Krishna Katha, you are inspired to share it. Somebody who is experiencing Krishna, he cannot sit down quietly. He wants to share it with others. And when you share it, friendship thickens. Because you are, by sharing Krishna Katha, you are actually helping another person to also make advancement. And when that friendship thickens, one is inspired to lead a pure life. Because one understands that in order to stay in this association, I should also come up to the standards of purity, which all of the devotees are maintaining. He gets inspired. I should also become pure. Let me give up this sense gratification. And when he does that, he gives up sense gratification. His ability to absorb in Krishna Katha becomes enhanced. That is Krishna's reciprocation for this troublesome task of giving up sense gratification, which is so difficult for a conditioned soul. How does the Lord reward him? He gives him further taste for Krishna Katha. And it becomes like a perpetual cycle. One who is absorbed in Krishna Katha, Krishna Naam, he is bound to share it with others. His friendship thickens. He gives up more because of that emotional encouragement and nourishment that he experiences. And then he gets further absorbed in Krishna Katha. And that's how a jiva gradually gets, you know, rescued from this cycle of material sense enjoyment. And one can also cultivate satisfaction, which is a very important thing, by satisfying Krishna. Yatha taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashaka. And in our own lives, we have to basically start experiencing Krishna through our sadhana, seva, shastra. Because unless that experience of Krishna starts coming in our life, we won't be greedy for it. It has to hit the tongue somewhere. Then we become intensely attached to start experiencing it again and again. That's what Ramananda Rai is saying. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra lalyam api mulyam ekam. Who's saying? Vishakha Devi from the spiritual world. Srila Ramananda Rai is saying, tatra lalyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukratirna labhyate. One need to have this intense greed to obtain it. That's how you actually get Krishna consciousness or Krishna bhakti. Prabhupada is walking in a park, and there's a lake, and these ducks are quacking, and Prabhupada is asking, so who will get the grains? And every devotee is thinking, I don't know what to say. And Prabhupada said, the duck which quacks the loudest, he will get the grains. He will attract the attention of the person who is there to give something. So Mahaprabhu has descended. Now we have to have that eagerness to receive what he has come to give. If you are complacent in even receiving, then although he wants to give, we will miss it. And in the in Gaur Leela, we have so many examples of devotees who exemplified this eagerness. Like Raghunath Das Goswami, for that matter. When he's time and again trying to run away, he meets Mahaprabhu twice in Shantipur. Mahaprabhu tells him, live like a pounds and shilling man. He gets married. He's maintaining all this, but he just can't live. And he's trying to run away again and again. And his father had employed 11 guards around him. 11 guards. 2 brahmanas, 4 cooks, 5 watchmen. 11 guards around him just so that he doesn't escape. And his mother is like, ei mata bare bare palaye dhari ane tabe tar mata kahe tar pita sane. So mother went to father, ki kar kya rahe aap? Why don't you just tie up this son in the home so that he doesn't run away? And the father just shakes his head in utter, he said, what are you talking? And he's saying, indrasam aishwarya istri apsarasam ei sab bandite narileka yaraman. Are if a beautiful wife like an apsara and the opulence is like Indra cannot bind the mind of your son, what these ropes will do? Be practical, lady. What are you talking? And he's saying, Chaitanya Chandrera Kripa Hayache Ihare, Chaitanya Chandrera Batule, Ki Rakite Pare. Are he has received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the renounced mendicant. And he has become mad after him. Now who will save him? Ki rakite pare? How will you keep him? Forget it. Just flow with time now. Whatever is happening. And then eventually Raghunath Das Goswami left. Another classic example of great eagerness. Mahaprabhu, after accepting sannyas, before accepting sannyas actually, 3 days before accepting sannyas, he tells Lokanath Goswami, go to Vrindavan. I'm going to soon accept sannyas and I'll come back. Vrindavan, immediately after accepts sannyas. So Lokanath Goswami goes with tears in his eyes. He goes. And then he hears Mahaprabhu has accepted sannyas and gone to Jagannath Puri. Cheating! And he hears further that from Jagannath, so he immediately starts from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, and he reaches Jagannath Puri and he's told he has gone to South India. So he said, okay, let me go to South India. No GPS, no Google. No Facebook updates. Mahaprabhu was seen last time here. So he went all over South India, came back, and in South India he came to know Mahaprabhu has already returned to Puri. So he runs to Puri and he reaches Puri and he's told Lord has already left for Vrindavan. So he runs to Vrindavan and he reaches Vrindavan and he's told Lord just left from Vrindavan. Next day morning, Lokanath Goswami was ready to start his journey again on foot. Lord appeared in the dream. He said, Lokanath, just sit here. I want you to be just here in Vrindavan. I'll reveal my sweetness and opulences to you here in Vrindavan only. That was the eagerness of these personalities to access the grace of Sri Chaitanya Dev. So we have to also aspire and live by these principles to attract the grace of Lord Chaitanya, which are exemplified by the 6 Goswamis. We are Rupanugas. Echhai Gosai Kori Charana Vandhan Yaha Hoite Vigrivinash Abhishtapuran. Whatever troubles, whatever challenges, whatever inner obstacles one has, Narottam Das Thakur is saying, can be overcome simply by worshipping the lotus feet of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. living by that example. And unless we live by those examples of humility, of that service attitude, even though we chant Hare Krishna, even though we chant the holy names constantly, we won't attract Mahaprabhu's grace. And we have the classic example of Ramdas Vipra, who is traveling with Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, constantly chanting Ram Ram. Mahaprabhu doesn't even look at him. Can you imagine constantly chanting Ram Ram? He doesn't even look at him. Because his motivation was not seva. His motivation was to become one with the Supreme. Therefore, one has to chant the holy names with this mood of seva. Mahaprabhu did not just bestow. Nowhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita will come across where Mahaprabhu is saying, I bestowed my special mercy on Rupa Goswami because I was impressed by his scholarship. No. He says, I was impressed by his humility, by his menial service attitude, by his humble disposition. Therefore, I bestowed my blessings and mercy upon him. So intellectual conviction is fine, but that doesn't take us very far in the devotional circles. Beyond intellectual conviction, when it's applied with this Vaishnava mood of humility, with the mood of seva, when we understand the importance of devotees in our lives, and when we apply that intellectual conviction, we start experiencing the taste of bhakti. That's what actually takes us forward. Therefore, Rupa Goswami is saying, what is his eagerness? Tunde tandavini ratim vitunate tundavali labdhaye karna krodha kadambani ghatayate karna arbudebhyas priham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarva indriyanam kritim notu janu janita kiyadbhir amritai krishneti varnatvai. He is writing this verse in Vidagdha Madhav, his drama on Vrindavan. He took several almost more than a decade to write this book. And his writing is this realization, and Mahaprabhu reads this verse when he comes to meet him, and he chants his loudly, and Haridas Thakur just begins to dance. He said, I've never heard such a glorification of the holy name by anyone ever. How did you understand such deep esoteric taste of which is there in the chanting of the holy names? And Mahaprabhu and all the associates at that time blesses Rupa Goswami. So we see in the Bhagavatam, we see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Gaur Leela, devotees are blessed in proportion to their eagerness to hear and chant and serve. We have received this gift, now we have to also value this gift. So therefore, Bhagavatam is saying, it's a conclusion, Nam Sankirtana Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. Without the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we cannot make any tangible spiritual advancement in this day and age of Kali. And the way we attract the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when in the mood of humility, in the mood of genuine service attitude, we humble ourselves and we take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when our regulated practice of devotional service is for this purpose, that we develop an intense eagerness to attain Krishna. That is the key to offset the influence of greed from the heart, which has been existing since time immemorial. We have to develop that intense eagerness to attain Krishna. Maam ichchaptum dhananjaya. That's what Krishna said in the Gita. Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknoshi maistiram. Abhyas yogena tato maam ichchaptum dhananjaya. If you cannot focus your mind and intelligence on me completely, then perform regulated practice of devotional service and develop an intense desire to attain me. That is what you call the result of a very sincere practice of sadhana bhakti. Not that one attains Krishna. One attains an intense desire to attain Krishna. So if somebody is performing his sadhana bhakti intensely, we will see that being reflected in his seva, in his sadhana, in his sadachar, in his shastra. He has great eagerness because he understands these are the very limbs which is going to take him back to Krishna. And therefore, he does not compromise with any of them at any cost. And Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami while explaining how do you develop love for Krishna in your heart, and he says this Navada Bhakti, these nine processes of devotional service are the most potent forms of developing love for God. And he says, but of all of them put together, the most powerful is the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And when we start making conscious efforts to mold our life, our perceptions, our consciousness, our internal, you know, settings, our internal desires with this mood that I have to develop this great eagerness to receive this valuable jewel that Mahaprabhu has descended to give, which is the taste in the chanting of the holy names. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, again, he mentioned in his book, The Journey Within, he says, what does true wealth actually mean? And he says, he starts this right in the beginning of the book. He says, to be truly wealthy is to have a fulfilled heart. And that means to love and be loved. The joy of love is the true wealth inherent in all of us. And learning to recognize this is what spiritual practice is all about. So learning to recognize this potential of being able to love Krishna, being able to love the other. And when we transform, when we invoke this benevolence in our heart, then we start offsetting that influence of greed and desire to accumulate more and more. So on this auspicious day, today is also the recipient's day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was son of Narayani Devi, niece of Srivas Thakur. And she would accept the remnants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she was given pure love of God by Mahaprabhu just on the instruction to Narayan Devi. Just chant. And this little girl, she started chanting and exhibiting all symptoms of ecstasy. So her son was Vrindavan Das Thakur and also the last disciple of Lord Nityananda. So I'll just conclude with this little glorification of him, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing. He's saying, Nityananda Kripa Prapta Vrindavan Das Chaitanya Lila Teho Haina Adi Vyas. He said he is the Vyas Dev of Chaitanya Lila. Chaitanya Lila Amrita Sindhu Dugabdi Saman Trishna Anurup Jhari Bhari Teho Kailapan. He says, as per his eagerness, Vrindavan Das Thakur has picked up something from this huge ocean of Mahaprabhu's pastimes and given us. Vrindavan Das Kaila Chaitanya Mangal Yahar Shramane Nache Sarva Mangal. And he's saying, anyone who hears the product of the eagerness of Vrindavan Das Thakur will get delivered from this material world, which was Chaitanya Mangal. Later on came as Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Pade Koti Namaskar Aiche Granth Kariteho Tarila Samsar. And he's saying, Vrindavan Das Thakur has written such a grantha which has the capacity to deliver the entire material existence. Why? Because when we hear the descriptions and the experiences of these very advanced devotees who have experienced Krishna, who has experienced Mahaprabhu, we start developing an intense desire for also acquiring that taste. And by service and by their grace, one day such mercy is also bestowed upon us. So we offer our respectful obeisances and prayers at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur, all our acharyas, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to also award us a drop of taste for Krishna consciousness so that we can stop uselessly striving for the temporary flickering enjoyments of this world and develop intense eagerness for Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthrashmad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Gaur Premanande.